Today we're going to conclude our series on the road to recovery with the eighth step in this series. And the focus today is on the letter Y of recovery, which is to yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by example and by my words. And the overarching theme for today is recycling my pain. You see, God has a special ministry for each and every one of us. And the question is, what is my ministry? What is your ministry? And so often we find it through a process of dealing with pain, and thus recycling my pain. And today I want to talk about a question so often we have to deal with in life, maybe a question that you're struggling with. And the question is, why does God allow pain? Why does God allow suffering? And there's four things I want to share with you today that I truly believe are going to help you, and also a testimony by somebody a little bit later in this message who's gone through these steps. And the first thing I want to share is this, that God has given to us free will. And when it comes right down to it, we suffer and there's pain in this world because of the misuse of free will. If we use free will in the right ways, good things happen, but if we use free will in the wrong ways, terrible things happen. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 1, I'm giving you the choice between God's blessing or God's curse. There will be a blessing if you obey my commands. And so if we follow God's ways, there's blessings. And so often in life, this is the case, but so often we go on the wrong path. We go the direction of sin. And sin is living outside the bounds of love. And because of our sin, we create our own problems by what we say, by what we do, even by the messed up thoughts that we have. And we cause problems for others. For example, if a drunk driver hits somebody and kills somebody, it's not God's fault that happened. It's the fault of the drunk driver. And so often as you look at the situations of life, it's caused by bad choices people make. And so often we're the ones making those bad choices. And so often the pain in our own lives is caused by our own sin, our misuse of free will. And so often it's caused by the sin of others. And so God allows pain. He doesn't cause it. And so often people in the world want to blame God for everything bad that happens. But no, it's sin that causes problems. The second thing is this, that so often God allows pain to get our attention. And when you think about it in life, when things go good, so often we take things for granted. We think, I've got things under control here. And sometimes even when things go bad, we get lost inside of ourselves and we think, I can take care of this. But yet when you look at your life so often in painful situations, God gets your attention. It says in Proverbs 20, verse 30, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Or in 2 Corinthians 7, 9, I am glad, not because it hurts you, but because the pain turned you to God. You know, so often through the difficult situations of life, we realize we're not in control. We need help. You know, so often ego gets in the way, and ego is easing God out and inserting ourselves too much into the equation of life. But in these difficult times, so often God gets our attention, and that is a very good thing. And once God gets our attention, it leads to the third point, and that is to teach me to trust Him. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, we were crushed and overwhelmed and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God who alone could save us. And He did help us. You know, when it comes to the problems of life, I'm sure we've been in a situation where we feel, you know what, this is beyond what I can possibly deal with. Even when it comes to addictions in life, you get to a point where you think, you know what, I'm powerless over this addiction. And not only do we turn to God and He gets our attention, but we learn to trust Him, because when we trust Him, all of a sudden a power is unleashed that goes way beyond what is humanly possible. We are limited in ourselves. There's only so much we can do, but we trust in God and we let Him to work in our lives. Things happen that go beyond what is humanly possible. In the divine, the love of God begins to carry out through us and around us. And amazing things begin to happen. It says in Psalms 119:71, "It was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws." When we're out of control, we realize that God is in control. We put our trust in him. Amazing things begin to take place. Years ago, I came across a family that had a son. His name was Jonathan. I met him when he was 3. He had cancer. And for 2 years, I walked alongside this family. And Jonathan went through all kinds of treatment. And this little guy had faith that goes beyond almost any person I've met in my life. And one point I was talking to him, I said, "Jonathan, are you angry with God that you have cancer?" He said, "No, I'm not angry with God. The reason I have cancer is because people have not taken care of God's creation the way that they should." And just the faith and the mindset of this little guy just has had impact on me over the last 20 years of my life. And at the age of 5, he passed away. And faith in Jesus Christ, it was a painful thing, but yet through his life, hundreds, even thousands of people were touched by the witness of this young man. And for his funeral, more than 1,000 people were there. And a testimony shared that many, you know, students, actually, because his parents were teachers, had come to that funeral. Many people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. You see, as you trust God, it leads to the next thing. That through pain, we're led into a ministry. And Jonathan had a ministry. And Jonathan probably impacted more people in his 5 years than most people do in their entire lives. But God wants us, no matter what age we are, no matter where we are in this journey, to be engaged in a ministry. And so often our pain leads us on that path. As I come across people and discover the ministries they carry out to serve and to help others, so often it was pain that led them on that path. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:4, "Why does God do this? So that when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them the same help and comfort God has given to us." And this is the crowning moment of the series. As we go through these steps, it ultimately leads us on the pathway to a legacy, to doing things that have eternal significance. It says in Genesis 5:20, regarding Joseph, "They intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good." Just to give you an idea of what Joseph went through. His brothers wanted to kill him, and they ultimately sold him into slavery at the age of 17. He went and worked for a man named Potiphar, and he faithfully served him as a servant. And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. And what did Joseph do? He tried to get away from that situation. She grabbed his robe and accused him of trying to rape her. And he goes to jail, to prison, for something he had never done. And there in prison, for many years, he serves faithfully. We never see him complaining ever in Genesis. And then ultimately, if you follow the story, he's got this ability to interpret dreams, and he interprets a dream of Pharaoh, you know, later on. And in that dream, he sees it's going to be 7 years of plentiful crops, followed by 7 years of famine. You know, Pharaoh's so impressed with the way that he presented himself and interpreted this dream. He puts him to be second in charge of all of Egypt. And because of what God does through Joseph, the people of Egypt are saved, and ultimately Joseph's family is saved. And later on, after Joseph's father dies, the brothers are thinking, he's going to take out revenge on us. And what does Joseph do? He forgives them. "You intend to harm me, but God intended it for the good." He recycled his pain, and God used him in a way that ultimately allows for the plan of salvation to go forward. Because if his family would have been wiped out, if Judah would have been wiped out, the line of Christ would have been wiped out. God works through pain. He allows it, doesn't cause it, but through it we can grow in so many ways. This time we're going to have an interview with a friend of mine named Randy Danheim, who basically is going to share with us how these 4 steps have been lived out in his life. I want to introduce you to a friend of mine named Randy Danheim. I've known Randy for 25 years. He is one of the people that oversees Crossroads, which is a ministry, so to speak, for people struggling with addiction. Over the years, he's helped tens of thousands of people. He's also been involved in helping to start one of the largest celebrate recovery programs in the Valley at Christ Church Lutheran. But it's been an interesting journey as to how he got to his ministry. It ties in to the message for today. And so, Randy, initially, you know, for you, with your free will, how did your free will, so to speak, get you into trouble?
Well, John, I always wanted to be a singer. I mean, from the time I was just 2 years old, I drove my neighbors nuts making noises out the window, and it was always in key. And so I was always able to sing. And as I grew up, I got into that high school time, and I found myself singing to get to the girls, you know, for making friends, to hang out with the cool people. And next thing you know, I'm drinking beer and smoking a little pot and doing those kinds of things. As that progressed, I got worse, and you know, the being a good son became less important as being a popular singer, and that kind of took over.
Okay, what about your challenge with drugs?
Well, I mean, at during high school, I did drugs and alcohol pretty much. You know, I was in the early 70s and late 60s, and it was every weekend we were drinking beer, you know, smoking pot, or doing a little speed, tried LSD. It wasn't really out of control back then, but it was, I imagine my parents would have said it was out of control. It hadn't grabbed a hold of me. That took years. Went through a divorce in 1985, and I really spiraled into the addiction after the divorce.
That led you to?
3, 4, 5 years. I was doing alcohol. I was doing methamphetamines. I learned how to make it, and I learned how to sell it, and I became a drug dealer. And I remember it got so bad, I went into a Victory Outreach, of all places, and asked the people to help me become delivered from drugs and alcohol. I was hoping for the hands-on, you're fixed. And I went in, and they put the hands on, but I didn't walk out fixed. But 3 days later, I got arrested. So I did get delivered. It just wasn't the way I thought I was going to get delivered. I got delivered to Joe Arpaio's Tent City rather than delivered from the drugs and alcohol.
So this is how God got your attention?
He definitely got my attention with that one. Huh? Everything that I had ever wanted, and that was a career in music, fame and fortune, if you will, immediately got taken away from me. All my worldly belongings were left out in the middle of an apartment complex that I had just moved into. I'm arrested, and all my drug-using friends went through my stuff, totally parted it all out. And when I got out of jail, the first time after 4 months, I had 2 cast iron skillets and some wet pictures of me and my kids growing up that were ruined because they had been in the rain.
So how'd you learn a process to trust God?
Well, the first time in jail, I wouldn't say that I did. But I got out thinking that I could stay sober on my own because I'm a tough guy. And within a few months, I was using again because I didn't have any help, no program, no God. And I had to go back to jail again and face the very real possibility of doing several years in prison because I had 3 class 2 felonies for sales of dangerous drugs, and that could be 21 years in prison. And there's a series of miracles that happened that actually could be a really long story that put me in the Alpha program, which was a in-jail drug treatment program, and did Bible studies and services with communion. And there was an old woman, and I don't remember her name. She was blind in one eye, and she's no longer with us. She's passed on since then. That was part of that jail ministry that probably a month and a half into that program sat down and did the sinner's prayer with me. And just literally it broke me this time whenever I said it. I absolutely meant it. I was totally grieving everything that I'd ever wanted to be. It was gone. And the song that was being played in the background was Amazing Grace, and for the first time in my life, I understood what, once I was blind, now I see. It just all enlightened me. You know, that spiritual enlightenment happened. I still didn't know biblical scripture. I didn't know what it was God wanted me to be, but I knew that He wanted me to be there and that He wanted me to help.
So how that lead you now into your ministry?
Well, probably a week after giving myself to the Lord and asking Him to come into my heart, it was 120 10-degree day out in Tent City. It was really hot, similar. I turned 64 in September, on September 24th. It was my birthday, September 24th, in, I don't remember what year, but probably 99 maybe, or 98. And I'm in jail, and I look up and I shake my fist at God, and I said, "What do you want from me?" And I clearly heard in my heart, "I gave you a gift, now it's time to use it for me." And I went back to my tent, quit complaining about the heat, and sat down and wrote a song called "Another Child Is Born," a cappella kind of thing, just wrote it out in my head. Took about 15 minutes, and I started singing that to different inmates. And next thing you know, I'm being invited to one Bible study, and then another Bible study, and then another Bible study, and it was, God was using that music to bring healing not only to myself, but to the jail and all that tension that happens inside the jail. And I was being used. I had people walking up and say, "Preacher, would you?" And I'm like, "Don't call me preacher. I'm not a preacher." But they saw that, because when I sang that song, it brought the Holy Spirit into that room or into that area. And it was incredible. It was a remarkable experience for me. And I knew that what I had heard was, "You have a gift, you need to use it for me," was true. And I knew that that voice was really from God, and that's what I wanted to do with my life. And I began doing that. And my pursuit took me to AA and in a recovery house, a couple of them. Everyone that I've worked in, I've also gone to for recovery, I've also wound up working in and developing relationships. And over the years, God has used those relationships to build an incredible recovery ministry through Crossroads. For a while, it was a place called Center for Healing. And literally, God has sent me tens of thousands of men, and in some cases women, given me a program. He helped me get through school so I could get licensed as a substance abuse counselor. And none of that would have happened without his intervention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Randy, I want to thank you for sharing your testimony, your journey, and just to let you all know that I have a relative, a nephew named Nick, that was a meth addict, went through Randy's program, and is now his life is great. He's on a great path, but he's helped tens of thousands of people. Christ Church Lutheran has baptized hundreds of people, have gone through the Celebrate Recovery program. It's an amazing ministry to do, and it's pain that ultimately got you to get, God got your attention. You learn to trust him, and now look what's happened. And here's a great example for all of us to kind of apply the sermon that we heard for today. So Randy, thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you so much, John.
As we come to the conclusion of this series, I want to do a quick review of the 8 points that we've gone through. The R in recovery is to realize I'm not God. The E is to earnestly believe that God exists. The C is to consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. The O is for to openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. The V is to voluntarily submit to any and all changes God wants to make in my life. The E is to evaluate all my relationships. The R is to reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, and the Y that we covered today is to yield myself to God, to be used to bring forth the ministry that God wants us to carry out. And in closing, what is that ministry that God has for you? And so often, it's pain that brought us on the path, and pain is caused by our misuse of free will. But in pain, so often, God gets our attention, and we learn to trust him. And we learn to trust him. He guides us on a pathway to the ministry he wants us to carry out. And may God grant that we see that ministry in a clearer way as we continue to live on this road to recovery, knowing that through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The best is yet to come, but he has great plans for us now and forever in making a difference and a legacy in this world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, even for the pain that we have in our lives, because through pain so often we grow. And we realize our pain is because of our own sin and the sin of others. And we are sorry for that. And we thank you for your forgiveness. And through pain so often you get our attention. You teach us to trust you, and through pain we're led on a pathway to ministry that can impact your kingdom and the lives of so many others. Lord, help us to realize this road to recovery is ongoing as we live our days on this planet, because we're sinners and we need your help. Help us to live out these principles each and every day. In your name, amen.